Good morning. My name is Tony Norman, Vice Chair from WPFW. I'll be temporarily presiding. Chair is Lydia Brazon from L.A. Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
Yes. Allen, KPFT. Argueta, KPFK. Argueta, present. Burden, WBAI. Brazon, not here. Jim Brown, WPFW.
Present.
Jim Brown, present. Steve Brown, WBAI. Casnave, KPFT.
Present.
Casnave, present.
Yes,
you do. Yeah. Coleman, WBAI. Diaz, WPFW.
Present.
Diaz, present. Edward Steekert, KPFA.
Here.
Edward Steekert, present. Fuentes, KPFA. Coburn, KPFA, present. Lane Ewart is excused absence. Mark, KPFT.
Present.
Mark, present. Medina, KPFK.
Present.
Medina, present. Norman, WPFW.
Present.
Norman, present. Rabin, WVQR affiliate.
Present.
Rabin, present. Ryder, KPFT.
Here.
Ryder, present. Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Roberts, present. Tucker, WPFW.
Present.
Tucker, present. Wilkinson, KPFA.
I'm here.
Wilkinson, present. Let me just try again. Allen, KPFT. Allen, present. Burden, WBAI. Brazon. Coleman. Fuentes. Okay, one moment.
Staff reports.
Chair, we have 15. That's a quorum, but we also have John Proffitt.
Present.
Proffitt present, and John Gary is also present.
Okay, thank you. We have a timekeeper. Okay, and you have a draft agenda. I guess, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Okay.
Order, Brian.
Yes.
We've already approved an agenda for the weekend.
Oh, that's correct. Thank you.
There's time on this agenda for any changes to the agenda, but they will require two-thirds.
Oh, thank you. That's correct. Janet Kay.
Yes, I move to add affiliates report to the agenda. I don't see that. I think that was overlooked.
Where are you going to specifically add that?
Well, that there is some Ursula Rudenberg was going to report to us. Was there a time thing? Do you, Teresa? Do you know?
Were you thinking there was going to be some sort of Skype report, or are you talking about the?
Was she going to call in? I don't know, but John, do you know?
Lydia would know, and she's still not present yet.
Do you want Ursula to come on a call? I'm sure she could do that if you wanted.
I don't know what was planned, but we need to place it somewhere in the agenda.
How about right after the archives?
Point of order.
Or it could be during the
DVD's
report.
Yes, Serene, what's your point of order?
Oh, I'm sorry. Since Lydia is not yet here and has probably had a conversation with...
Can't hear you.
Everybody...
John?
I'm sorry. We got a lot of conversations going on, so we can't hear. Yes, Serene.
Oh, I'm not sure if this is a point of order. Now that I'm thinking about it. But I'm saying Lydia probably had a conversation with Ursula and may know what time she's available. Or we can email her and find out what time she'll be available. Can we defer this until...
You mind holding off until we chat with Lydia? Okay, we have our agenda in front of us. First order of business is the ED report. We have 30 minutes for this item. Mr. Proffitt.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate the opportunity to come before the board and give my very first report as executive director of Pacifica. Many of you know I've been a volunteer for KPFT Houston for about 2 years before coming to the national office 1 month ago as your ED. So I'm new, obviously, with what I hope is a fresh perspective on the various issues we face today. I've determined that my first priority must be the financial and business weaknesses of Pacifica and recommendations of how we should move to correct those weaknesses. For a number of years now, Pacifica has faced the sobering question of its very viability as an institution, where year after year, budget after budget, revenues fail or closely fail to meet goals and therefore fail to adequately pay for our budgeted expenses, much less emergencies or other unanticipated expenses that come our way. As a business, Pacifica cannot continue on this path. The question of revenue streams to pay the bills has always been a major focus of management at any Pacifica station and at the national office, and this focus is both appropriate and absolutely necessary. The main existential problem to be faced at all Pacifica stations is this question: why the total content of all the shows on all Pacifica stations together does not generate an adequate audience and therefore adequate listener support to fund our expenses. We must never lose sight of the reality of non-commercial educational radio broadcasting. The amount of dollars donated to a community radio station is directly and inextricably related to the number of listeners to that station and its programs. Couple that sober reality with a second fact: out of the total audience for any community radio station, only an average of maybe 6, 7, or 8% of that audience ever makes a donation to the station. These are national statistics borne out of many years of thorough audience research. These are facts we must deal with. A small fraction of a small audience is what pays for the ongoing operation of Pacifica. Add to this the further fractioning of the potential radio audience by internet streaming of other sources of content to people's tablets and smartphones. The problem of audience and revenue is exacerbated. This lack of an adequate audience is not meant to be a put-down of existing listeners and supporters. On the contrary, they're a dedicated group of people who stick with Pacifica through thick and thin. But this traditional core audience is getting older and fewer in number through attrition. But it's an indisputable fact of life for us that stations and their programs are not generating the level of revenue, i.e. donations, adequate to fund operating expenses. The structure of Pacifica, specifically its existing model of almost total dependency on individual listener donations, is both Pacifica's mission strength and its practical Achilles heel. Non-commercial educational broadcasting, by the way, I use that term, that is the FCC legal term for what the type of license that we are, NCE, non-commercial educational. So don't get into tivy over the fact that we may or may not have educational programs per se, but that's just the label used by the feds. Non-commercial educational broadcasting has evolved over the past 3 decades in some very unfortunate ways, in my opinion, in my experience. The so-called NPR business model has become almost indistinguishable from commercial radio. Enhanced underwriting, first allowed by the FCC under the Reagan administration, has become a significant revenue source for NPR and its stations. The negative program and mission-related consequences aside, there's no question that the enhanced underwriting revenue stream has contributed to a more stable bottom line for NPR and its stations. It would be desirable, in my opinion, for Pacifica to find a different way, a mission-friendly way, to undertake a carefully controlled experiment which would allow us to earn some revenue from underwriting on other stations without necessarily carrying that underwriting on Pacifica's own stations. The Pacifica Affiliates Group underwriting proposal is such a possibility, which I will hope the PNB will carefully consider and approve for an experiment, a six-month test, to see if this model that Ursula Rudenberg and her folks have come up with. I believe the potential for a new revenue stream for Pacifica is real, and any possible negative factors can be both anticipated and dealt with successfully in subsequent reports back to the board, should the board choose to approve this experiment. But back to the question of programs and audiences, which, as I said earlier, is a fundamental problem facing our existing business model. We depend primarily on the listener donations, the amount of which in turn depends on the number of people listening, i.e. our audience. Now, does developing and expanding our listenership necessarily conflict with our mission? I think not. But this has been just as obviously a source of much debate and controversy within Pacifica over the years, and I'm sure that will continue. But the question itself is a valid one to ask. The approach that I'm recommending starts with the individual program on the individual station and works up from that. Because Pacifica is so completely dependent on listener donations, I believe that a program that has been on the air for, say, several years should have its performance evaluated on an annual basis. The question to be asked is, does the audience for that program support it by meeting or hopefully surpassing the dollar goal set for that program? The dollar goal should be realistic, but must, at a minimum, support the actual cost of producing said program while also contributing a fair share to overhead expenses. Ideally, we base the evaluation on an average of actual donations to the program received during the three most previous fund drives for the station. This bottom line evaluation should be the start of a process of determining the value of a program to the station program lineup, the start of a process. Discussion and argument over the nature of the content would follow this first evaluation. But if a program consistently fails to meet fundraising goals, it's a legitimate question to ask if that program is furthering the Pacifica mission, and how might it be improved to meet the goals and serve the mission of Pacifica. But please make no mistake, failing that bottom line goal of listener support is the leading indicator, number one, of an adequate audience size, and number two, content of limited interest. At this point, I'd like to add that I'll be using a similar process to evaluate and improve station budgets going forward. For the income side of the budget ledger, donor income projections used in the preparation of the annual station budget in a given year will be arrived at by averaging the previous 3 years of actual donor receipts. Now, for the expense side of the ledger, total budget expenditures will not exceed that revenue projection. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just basic good business practice. I don't mean to be belaboring the obvious, but I do want to belabor it to say that, you know, we have to raise the money to support our programming. Otherwise, look at it and examine it and find out why not. Pacifica can't continue to spend more money than it receives from its members. We do from time to time receive requests, such as those willed to Pacifica or its stations. As a matter of prudent fiscal responsibility, such bequests should be held in reserve for earning interest or helping to deal with unanticipated emergency expenses, which do come up from time to time, not being spent down to offset an operating budget shortfall, after which we go back to business as usual. It's tough stuff, but I'm just trying to be as realistic as possible. So what does this tell us about the current state of Pacifica finances? First, the sum total of Pacifica programming has not in and of itself gained enough people willing to support that programming at a level adequate to fund operational expenses and to permit forward planning and program development. Second, the techniques of on-air fundraising as implemented by Pacifica are a contributing factor to the shortfall of listener support. A couple of things to look at here, and it's a very involved ongoing discussion that hopefully we'll all be engaged in, but just giving those two highlights, the sum total is inadequate present day, and the techniques we use on the air contribute to that inadequacy. Our on-air signal, our radio stations, our FM stations, that signal is far and away the most effective means of reaching potential donors. Remember that earlier comment I made about a small fraction, about 6%, 7% of Pacifica listeners that actually give money to us. That means that there's 94% of our listeners, people who are tuning in to our stations, they are the prime candidates for persuasion, and it's one of our major challenges to communicate with and persuade as many of that 94% as possible to support our network and stations. In communicating to existing Pacifica donors and potential new donors, I firmly believe that explaining our mission and service to the community must be the primary focus of our on-air pitching. Over time, we've become too dependent and too focused on transactional memberships. You send us $20 a month, and we'll send you this fantastic DVD or a new coffee mug. No, this is a dead end for fundraising, experienced throughout the public broadcasting, community broadcasting world. First and foremost, donors need to know that they're giving to an organization, an activity that they agree with, that confirms and validates their view of the world and conforms to their values, and very importantly, allows that donor to extend her interests and worldview to others through the medium of Pacifica. That is the key, I believe, to listener buy-in to what we do. The gift of a DVD or a coffee mug should only be a way of saying thank you to the donor for her support, not the reason for the call. I think we all know that, but quite frequently we get into the business of sounding like the Home Shopping Network, and this is not good. Occasional use of mission-focused premiums can be extremely effective, again, if not overused. Specifically, I think the premium CDs and or DVDs produced from Pacifica Archive materials are by definition of prime interest to Pacifica listeners, and their use in fundraising also supports the Pacifica mission. Overuse, again, point out as the key word. Rethinking and reformulating on-air fundraising on Pacifica stations is something we all need to deal with urgency. The constant recourse to extending fund drives beyond the announced dates is a prime cause of listener and therefore donor fatigue. Now, there are no easy answers, and I don't claim to have the easy answers, but we must use our collective experience and wisdom to search for better, more effective ways to engage our listeners and our stakeholders, the supporters of Pacifica. I very much hope to work with all units to develop a consensus on this issue. Next, I'd like to draw your attention to another pressing need for Pacifica, that for a set of technical standards for best engineering practices at all stations. The goal of such technical standards is to ensure the highest quality infrastructure and broadcast signal for all Pacifica stations, from the studio to the transmitter to the antenna. Included in these standards is compliance by all stations with all FCC and Corporation for Public Broadcasting requirements, and timely documentation of this compliance available in the public files of the stations and at the National Pacifica National Office. In a similar fashion, we need consistent standards and procedures across the board for our financial and our business operations, with a transparent and crystal-clear chain of accountability and record-keeping for all income, all expenses from all units up to the national office and the chief financial officer. There were many serious problems with our 2013 audit, as detailed by Armenino in their management report, Communication of Significant Deficiencies and Material Weaknesses. I recommend that you read this report carefully, and I'll highlight a few key items requiring correction. Monthly reconciliation of bank accounts and cash accounts to the general ledger. Pacifica, by the way, I'm quoting and paraphrasing from the report. This is not my words. Pacifica must have a systematic process of ensuring timely and complete monthly reconciliations and closing procedures. This is a critical need in giving Pacifica the possibility of a strong, transparent, and accountable financial position. Again, to quote Armenino, quote, such a process should be a primary focus for the foundation and be addressed immediately, close quote. Point number two, segregation of key duties. That means different staff are responsible for custody of the assets of the foundation. Number two, authorization or approval of transactions affecting those assets. And number three, recording or reporting of such transactions. Staff limitations throughout Pacifica have made this difficult to achieve, but best business practice and, quite frankly, our accountability requires it throughout all units. Point three, grant compliance and related accounting. Our failure to comply with Corporation for Public Broadcasting requirements is a major example which has cost Pacifica dearly. Proper training for all unit business managers. In addition, all hires for unit business managers must have requisite financial accounting experience to perform the job function. As I said at the start of my report, that'll be the focus of my work as ED for the foreseeable future. It's a huge undertaking to correct the accumulated problems and deficiencies. But it's essential we do this together to restore Pacifica to financial health. And I urge the Pacifica National Board to make the recruitment and the hiring of a chief financial officer its number one priority from this moment on. That's an action you can do that will get us moving in the right direction. Thank you so much for your attention, and I'm happy to entertain questions.
Okay, we'll take a stack. We have 30 minutes on this item. Brenda is going to raise your hand. Brenda will take a stack.
We have 14 minutes left, so I'll take people who want to be on the stack. So Robert Marcus Kruger, then Rodrigo, followed by Adriana Casanave.
And quickly, Madam Secretary, you want to update the members that arrived since we called her over?
Yes. Oops. Mics. Okay. The following directors are present.
Point of information, please. The reason you don't hear yourself loud in the loudspeaker is that it causes feedback. Your microphone is live and working, even though you don't necessarily hear yourself very loudly from the speaker. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Those directors. Additional directors to the roll call I did earlier who are present are Carolyn Burden, Lydia Brazan was here, she's in and out, Steve Brown, Janet Coleman.
Okay, go to the stack.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I just want to point out my concern when you were talking about the following the public radio format. I would tell you that your discussion about judging a program on the basis of its ability to raise funds is almost the CBS, NBC, ABC television news model. It's replacing the ability to raise money and revenue, replacing a mission. And so I would be very cautious about using that as, and I will give the example of the prison show in Houston, which it has absolutely no capacity to raise funds through this model, but it does have the capacity to raise funds through other models. Yes. Like, for instance, there ought to be a foundation funding the prison show. Yeah. And, you know, we got to get our finances on track before we can get any serious foundation money, but that's the way you fund programs that have mission but don't have constituents.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct, Robert. Thank you.
And then my second point is on the accountability and the planning. I know that I got the management letter, and I went and had a conversation with Dwayne Bradley, our general manager, about the general lack of procedures. I asked him, you know, why can't you implement this? And he says, I have implemented that. And I said, well, what do you do? And he went down a whole list of things that he does to segregate, to record receipts, things that I did not know existed,
yes,
and neither did the auditor. I said, did you share that with the auditor? And he said, no, they never asked. So it seems to me like there might be such things in place, but we're not in the audit process, and I think Adriana would tell you that one of the people, or some of the people at our station, wish there would be at least some on-site process at every station.
We've been called time, I think. Margie had something to add.
No.
I'm sorry if I went over. Yeah. I didn't hear somebody call.
Thanks, Robert.
Rodrigo would be the
I think Margie wanted to respond.
No, I
want to
be on the list.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
My response was that, as usual, Robert Mark hits it right on the mark, if I can make a little pun. Okay. He's quite correct about the mission. In my time frame of my report, I can't touch everything, but I totally agree that mission-driven programming is extremely important. But we can't ignore the fact, and Robert did not ignore the fact, that programs like the prison show, by their very nature, don't generate revenue for the station, but it can through other ancillary support, foundations and so forth. And the foundations will start talking to us when we have an audit.
Rodrigo.
Yeah, thank you for the report.
Please get closer to the mic.
Sorry. Rodrigo, KPFK. Thank you for the report. It's really good, and as you said, you're not able to touch, you know, every item that needs to be touched. But I hope you take in account yesterday's discussion when we have discussion, Mr. George, you know, was actually the head of the discussion about what to do in terms of the needs of the foundation at this time. And also taking account, you know, the discussion that Ms. Coburn put out in terms of the director's right of, you know, monitoring the radio stations.
Yes.
If you can, you know, send probably an explicit language to every GM that every director has all the rights, you know, to inspect and monitor, you know, the radio station would be great, you know, to help us to do our work and see, you know, management, you know, and how they work, as well as the rest of the station. And another thing is that you have training, you also in your report, you know, you're mentioning training for GMs. But it's important that this training for the GMs includes
business managers, actually.
Business managers or everyone, but also that the GMs, you know, develop a system of training for everyone who's doing programming. See, this is the thing. We are a foundation that our product is programming, right? Yes. Okay, we gotta be very professionals, very creative. You know, we have to develop strategies of making people feel what we say on the air. Otherwise, we're just, you know, I mean, playing, you know.
We're spinning our wheels.
Yes. So if we can develop that, but that has to be with training, good training, you know. So that's part of what we want to say, you know. In other words, you know, everything looks good, you know. So I think we have a lot more to talk and a lot more to provide, you know, to you and you to us. Thank you. I'm sorry.
One quick response comment. Absolutely touched on an incredibly important point. All of you members of the PNB, I'll go ahead and say your top responsibility is the fiduciary duty for this network, and that means going out and inspecting things like the books, like the records, and so forth. That's absolutely true, and I applaud the suggestion that we make certain that there's complete cooperation and transparency between business managers, GMs, and the board, because that's part of your job. Steve, I'm sorry. I can't do that.
Adriana, did you have I see Mr. Brown going to stack up. Yeah. Adriana?
Yes. I'm sorry. Thank you for the report. But Robert, Mark, this is Adriana Casney, KPFT, Houston. We have the manager, the deficiencies that the Armanino audit found, and I realized that this is exactly the same that we have in the previous one, and in the previous one, and every one of them. Robert, you said that you are so lucky because I'm trying to make a director's inspection since November 2014, and I personally talked to our general manager, and I asked about this Armanino finding for the previous one. He told me that he didn't know. He never saw it. I personally give him a copy. And it's a good thing that he told you that he's implementing something, because it's one of my questions was that, and I never received it. The problem is we have that right, but I ask you to be sure that the managers know that we have that right. And we need to be, and that need to be exercised.
You have my promise.
Thank you.
Of that.
Thank you.
Margie.
Thank you. I just want to point out that this audit letter is based on the audit for fiscal year 2013, and there have been a number of changes that have been made in the intervening time, and hopefully those will be reflected in the management letter we get for 2014, but I just want people to be clear about that it's for essentially 2 years previous.
We have Benito.
Yeah, I was just going to say with regard to the, I thought you said I don't need this, man. Benito from PFW in D.C., so with regard to the programming evaluation, I think that that is what you were saying is absolutely key as one of several criteria. And part of the problem is that the PDs. Well, I should only speak about PFW. I can't talk about the other stations, but I know that PDs have not done those evaluations. On the other hand, we have to take in other criteria as well. Robert Mark spoke to one other. And I would also say we have to one thing that's critical for me, I think, is where is a program placed on the schedule where it can be effective or not. This is my pet peeve, but we got a show that's been on the air for over 30 years, African Rhythms, and it was started on a Saturday in late afternoon. It went to Friday evening. They moved it up and down Friday evening. Now, okay, so a PD puts it at 12 midnight on a Saturday. Part of the show was news. You're going to put on news at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday? Obviously, he had to cut that out of his show. And then how are you supposed to judge a show, his ability to bring in money at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we have to make do for these particular kinds of situations. And when is that? Is a particular show's audience in place?
Yeah. I think we had
Mr. Brown. Steve Brown, New York.
Every chance I get.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for your talk. I was reassured because you hit all the right points. I think that 6 to 7% of our listeners supporting the network doesn't comport with industry standards. Usually it's 12 to 13%, but doesn't matter. You're right that the the listeners who don't support us are our biggest potential source of support. We have never, ever made a concentrated effort to reach those people. I have several ways of doing that, which I've circulated for years. No attention has been paid. I'd be glad to discuss them with you. I don't believe we need corporate underwriting in order to sustain this network. I believe that we can double, triple, quadruple our membership within a year and a half. That may sound odd, but it's very easily done. We have had several programs for increasing membership that have tested and worked and have been disbanded for various political reasons, unfortunately. But I'm very happy to hear your address to this foundation, and I look forward to you fulfilling some of the aspirations that you've laid out.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I just, mention again, I was trying to be very, very careful in my comments about the underwriting question as it affects other broadcasters around the country. No one has suggested, nor am I suggesting, that Pacifica stations, the five stations of Pacifica, do anything regarding underwriting. That is not the thrust of my suggestion that we approve an experiment with the affiliate stations of Pacifica, who are going to raise money on their own stations through underwriting regardless of what we do. It would be nice for us to be able to, as part of the affiliate fee structure, to get some of that revenue to Pacifica. That's the thrust of the experiment that Ursula Ruddenberg has put before us.
Lydia, before you leave the room, there was a question that came up earlier that we didn't follow up on because you weren't around about whether we should make time in the agenda for Ursula to present the underwriting proposal he's discussing via Skype.
Is she prepared to present?
I have not heard anything about that, no.
Well, I mean, we'll make the space if someone,
Okay, I mean, she's in your unit, so maybe you can communicate with her, see if she's
able and ready to. I mean, no one communicated to me that she would be making an oral presentation. I'm sure if she is, she made it last year. I mean, I'm sure she's prepared for it. We can Skype her in, and John can send her the information.
Just call in, like a regular telephone.
Okay. Thank you.
We're out of time. This agenda item, unless you want to extend.
That's all you wanted to
say. Well, I had one other question, but it's up to the body. We're out of time for that item.
Move
but
to extend 5 minutes.
Been moved to extend 5 minutes. Is there any objection? No objection. 5 minutes. We'll let Brian wrap up his comments, and I think Teresa.
So one thing that kind of perpetually bothers me is the good information that gets discussed at these meetings, how does that get down to the staff level? For instance, I have a copy of the management letter. Mm-hmm. It's like a very long to-do list. I've received it under condition of confidentiality, which means when I go into work on Tuesday, I can't knock on my business manager's door and say, hey, did you see this? You should get working on fixing this. So aside from like letting off steam at the board meeting, what happens next?
Communication up and down from the national office through the GMs and the program directors and the business managers is obviously a huge issue, too. It's one of those things that we simply have to I need to work on, and I will. But the past history is not encouraging, as you just pointed out. That's one of the things I will be working on.
Yeah, we saw Carolyn and Teresa.
Thank you so much for that report. As Steve has said, I am much comforted listening to you cover issues. The question of evaluation is very interesting, and I'll send you some things that have been batting around for a while on formats. But one of the issues is that there are alternative ways of supporting the station, and that is through social media. And once we get producers on to that track, I think that that is an important contribution that they should be asked to make minimally, required to make minimally, and asked to make more extensively. But a good example, for instance, is the Bob Fass show, which is down to one night a week and doesn't generate a huge amount of money. But he had an extensive profile in The New Yorker, which was worth millions. We couldn't have possibly paid for that kind of advertisement. And the film, that's right. So people have various ways of generating support for the station and the foundation, and we need to take all those into consideration. Their extensive extracurricular activities get noted in the press, and we should find ways to encourage that formally from the top and by social media and having people at each station, especially someone like BI, to really handle the social media aspects of our output. Just a suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Carolyn Burden from WBI. Excuse me.
I want to thank Janet Coburn for initiating a director's inspection and attempting very, very hard to follow the proper procedures. And I do want to emphasize this because there have obviously been in the past board members who wanted to get information and something happened, miscommunication or something, and it's been costly or embarrassing or like several years ago. An employee had sent information directly from personnel in the finance office to several of the board members, and it wasn't obviously solicited through a director's inspection, and that's, I think, very challenging. We need to be careful as board members that we just don't talk to an employee and say, "Well, I'd like this information," and so I'm assuming you'll get requests through you. We also had a director that requested information from a financial manager, and in an attempt, for whatever reasons, we ended up with a lot of bank costs, and I don't know whether it had gone through the general manager or whether there should have been some discussion, but we ended up with a lot of bank charges, and I just want to make sure that if we want information, that we get cooperation and that all bases are covered so we don't have hard feelings or expensive after effects.
Thanks.
Okay. that wraps up that item. We go to the next item on the agenda, the PNO, the Pacifica Finance Report. I assume, Mr. Proffitt, are you going to give that report?
Nope.
No. What's the item after that? Because Brian just went out to get the reports that Efren sent.
I thought we have public comment for 10 minutes.
And what's after that?
Programming Committee Report.
Okay, let's do the report before the motions. Do you have a report beyond the motions? George?
I'm sorry?
George, do you have a report beyond the motions that you can offer? If we move into programming right now.
Yes.
Programming.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm not the chair of the programming committee anymore.
Oh, sorry. Rodrigo.
So you want to go in, we're going to go into the, Rodrigo, are you prepared to do a brief
or you want
summary of the programming committee?
Okay, we can continue with public comment for a few minutes. Yeah. It'll only be a few minutes.
I guess we have 10 minutes allocated, so let's just do that 10
yes.
minutes.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, that should
Thank
be.
Thank you. Enough. We're going to go into hear from public comments. If you want to come and give at least a, depends on how many people want to speak in public comment.
Let me give it up.
Okay, so we got three people, so let's you can give them a minute and a half.
Four, five.
Oh, five. So we get a minute.
That's perfect.
2 minutes.
Okay, so could you got a minute?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. A minute and a half. Okay, 2 minutes apiece. Okay, could you come to the mic? Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. My name is Dr. Maria Joy, and I've been with KPFK since 1960, which is a rather long time. And I've had a lot of the same requests and questions. And I'm going to read you the first thing that I wrote. I would have liked to have seen on the agenda for the public the names and the locations of the PNB members so we know who you are, because we have no idea who you are, nor do you know who we are. You don't have to have us listed, but we should have you listed so we will know who you are, where you come from, first. Secondly, I believe that all producer programmers and all LSB members and the general manager and program directors need to be accountable and responsible for eliciting a big share of all monies that we need to maintain all stations or each station. And because the programmers are the ones who have and gain the power and public access to the airwaves, they benefit most from what is gained from having a program on air. That's why people stay there for 40 years and refuse to give up their spots. So anybody who gets something should be getting a lot back, and that's not happening from what I understand. I don't care what time of day or night they're on. If they have a program, they need to do the work to earn it. Secondly, all of the stations, Pacifica, the individual stations, KPFK in particular, has always had a lack of what's called transparency, which means, therefore, there is no accountability, which means in L.A., nobody knows what is going on, including that this meeting is happening. If you look on the KPFK website, and you know where to look for events, and you see a little teeny little gray thing that says there is a meeting today, I assume that all the LSB members from KPFK would be here, the general manager, the program manager, people who are responsible, none of them are here, or hardly any. How come? My time?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'm Berto from WBA General Manager, and I was listening to John Proffitt's, the ED's report, and I feel that it's not a lecture, that there should be a whole hour of open discussion on this item. This is the most important item we're discussing here. On programming, I think he's right. You know, we need to revamp programming. And as Carolyn Burden mentioned, there are different ways of evaluating programming and having a factor multiplied by the hour of the day and stuff like that. But there should be programming should bring in money, or they should be removed unless we evaluate exactly the value they bring in and how we use that value. And if we cannot use that value, we should move on and use other programming that brings in money. I'm all about money raising for WBI Pacifica because that's what's affecting us the most. That affects our programming, that affects our reach, that affects our reaching out to people and sending out the message. Concerning training, for programming, it is accurate, you know, we're all guilty of that. There has not been any implementation of programming evaluation of general managers, EDs, program directors, staff, anything else, because we've been all in a, you know, constant change and movement all the time. And it would be nice if there was a system and a set of procedures put on nationally that had to be adopted by everyone so that we can have uniform and fair evaluation of everything. We do not have any money to do real greed research to find the catchment area and all that kind of stuff and what we're doing. So I'd like to share that report you have so that I can understand what our audience is. I know some Spanish stations in New York spending millions of dollars just researching their audience, and we don't spend a dime doing that. So we have no idea what we're doing. And also, how do we set up a grid for a station? Do we go down or across? And then how do we actually put this thing together? I have so much more. Accounting procedures, BI. I'm the accountant. I do everything. So how do you set that up? Or do you set policies and procedures? You just need more staff or interns, and then the interns leave. So it's a very difficult process. I think we should probably get a whole accounting firm to do all the accounting of everything and get rid of all the accountants and then just put everything in one process and save auditing fees.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Next person is visitor number two.
Yeah, hi. We're not supposed to be required to give our names. That's why I did that. No. William Hairwagon, WBAI. Well, that's maybe in D.C. they know me. Here they don't. Let's see. I want to thank Serene for yesterday clearing up what might have been confusing about my comment about Oscar Lopez. I was appalled that the people didn't want it on the agenda, five-minute a non-binding resolution. Thank you, Serene. Then, let's see, I wanted to talk about the program evaluations, which were just mentioned, that if we start equating that to raising money, then we're really going off track on a mission. It's crazy, because we've got a couple of shows in New York that, well, one of them raises a lot of money, but it's not. It may not be as popular on the count, the prisoner show. The only one that I know of, there may be other prisoner shows, but this is produced and hosted by formerly incarcerated people. We've got another show on Haiti that probably doesn't raise a lot of money, and it's one of very few in the country. I think D.C. had one. I don't know if they still do. And I just think equating dollars to your right to be on the air, dollars raised by the program, is really horrible. Thank you.
Okay, so I want to introduce Eris Anagnos, and everyone in L.A. knows Eris, and he is of this building. He donated this building for nonprofit use. And what everyone may not know is that he, when requested and when he found out the need at WBAI regarding some payroll taxes that needed to be paid so as not to accrue interest, he made an interest-free loan to Pacifica. And so he has a few words, something he wants to share.
Hello, friends. On behalf of the Iris and Carolyn Anagnos Peace Center Foundation, I want to welcome you to your meeting. The Pacifica and the component stations perform a very important service at this time, particularly now when the forces of reaction are on their full offensive. And as Lydia mentioned a few months ago, at the time of the big crisis, at her request, I made a loan to the foundation of $150,000 interest-free. To honor you for coming here and having your meeting here, I want to convert that loan to a donation. So, so have a good meeting. And,
this is the official signing.
This is the important document.
She's going to hold them to it.
Will the directors from New York, from WBAI, please stand up, and everyone else please sit down. Steve, Janet, I don't know where Carolyn went, and Serino, there's Carolyn. Okay, so these are our directors. They have, they bore the... They bore the brunt of keeping the station going when Hurricane Sandy hit, and some of us didn't think you guys would be able to survive after that. They've been broadcasting from one location on a university and then another location in terms of the office. Oh, Berthold is back down here, and that's the general manager, Berthold Reimers, and so I'm sure... they're all very grateful. Yes. And let's hope that others can do the same if they're in a position to do so. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good meeting.
Thank you. Okay, our next speaker is Hedy.
Thank you so much. I'm Hedy Evans. I'm in my... fourth decade as a listener subscriber. I subscribed within minutes of hearing Mike O'Dell one afternoon. Mike O'Dell was a science fiction buff for hour 25. I listen to KPFK because of the diversity, because of the intellect it appeals to, and I hope that it continues diversity because that's key. I want to make a point, and that is I understand everybody here is twisting their brains to figure out what the hell's going on. I got a feeling myself, real good feeling, and I've seen it in the field with KPFK as a volunteer. Bandits get into the stations. They see that it's accessible, and they come in, and they rip it off, and they get out, and they get away with it because the stations don't want to press charges, and that's just the way it is. All right, but to move on, I don't see the audience getting that much bigger unless we get international, all right? Another thing is the audiences are only going to shrink unless something happens, and it's not going to. I've been in the high schools, okay? This is what they do, all right? That's what they do. And they're not going to change because the mothers and fathers do the same damn thing driving down the freeway, all right? And you can't put everybody on drive time. It's not going to work. As for diversity, it has to be there. I am pissed off to tell you, though, I'm not hearing science. And if you pay attention to what's going on in the world, why in the hell isn't science on drive time? But let me go on. How in the hell is it we have a local board, we have a national board, we don't have transparency, we don't have accountability? What the hell are you guys doing? All right. I fell out of my chair practically when I first read that people are being flown all over the country for these meetings. That's not the Pacific I signed up with Mike O'Dell. Thank you.
Next person we have, I think I have Tracy. And then we'll wrap it up with Israel and Lawrence.
Okay, that's all right. Hi, everyone. I think for this public comment, what I want to talk about a little is your financial reporting, and I think you're going to get a little more. I thought this public comment was going to be after that, and it isn't. So maybe the quality will go up a little, but there are some problems with what happened yesterday. One of the first, I don't know why a statement was made that your rather large 2013
deficit was the largest deficit you had had in the last 10 years. It actually wasn't even the largest deficit you've had in the last 5 years. If you look at your audits, your annual audits on your website, which you really should do, Pacifica's loss in calendar year that ended September 30th, 2010, was $2,975,000. That's more than you lost in 2013. So it's one thing not to know what you're saying. It's another thing to present grandiose, inaccurate statements that are sweeping in order to basically obfuscate what's going on. That needs to stop. You cannot make good decisions with bad information. It will never, ever happen. I'm not sure if you can make good decisions with good information either, but you should at least give yourself a chance to do that. The lies have got to stop, and that's a lie. In terms of the other thing that I think that was said that was a bit strange is the idea that you're losing listeners because you're extending your fund drives. Now, that may be true to some degree. However, why are the fund drives being extended? The fund drives are being extended because you already lost the listeners. You lost 20% of your listeners between 2005 and 2010. I'm sorry, not 20% of your listeners, 20% of your members, the ones that pay you. They already ran off. The reason that the fund drives were extended is you had less people that were giving you money, and therefore you had to fund drive for longer and longer periods of time. So don't blame the fund drives. Blame what put you into the position of needing longer and longer fund drives. In other words, why did people stop becoming members of the organization? That's the question that you need to answer.
Thank you. Israel?
I was in tune with KPFK before it even went on the air, so to speak. That is, as you may know, KPFK Pacifica was founded by conscientious objectors. I'm one of them, and I knew some of the founders of Pacifica, including the founder of this station, whom no one hardly even remembers, who got lost, so to speak, in one of these early battles over what should be the policies, how should the organization be run. So that's an issue which I raised earlier yesterday. I raised it again. That should be one of your priorities. I'm not saying the number one priority, Mr. Prophet, but it should be one, because the problems of factionalism on the board and the problems vis-a-vis staff, volunteers, and so on has been a problem from the very beginning. One of the reasons the founder of the station resigned under pressure was what degree of autonomy should this station have vis-a-vis KPFA and the foundation? That issue really has never been resolved to this day, in my opinion, in a consistent functional way. Plus, we have all the other accrued problems, which I think most of you know. The point, once again, is we need to have some professional advice, help in how we deal with our problems. That should be a high priority. I didn't say number one. I understand your concern and our concern with finances, but that's got to be at least number two or three, and I would say it ought to be share number one place, actually. And it may put you in a precarious position, Mr. Prophet, to try to stick your foot in that. But unless something is done in that, you may go the way of other managers and directors, and problems remain unresolved. On the finances, one quick thought. When people pledge, give their names. Thank you, Joe Smith from Mariposa. Why not allow companies or organizations to do the same thing and get credit? Not the same thing as underwriting. And some people who run businesses might, in the name of their business, do that. Just a thought.
Okay. Thank you. Last speaker, Lauren.
Yeah, so reminds me, you know, when somebody points out something that's supposed to be the truth and it's actually not the truth, especially when you hear this constant thing about, well, you know, it's almost like the Pinocchio. It's almost like watching the Pinocchio show. You know, the nose just gets longer and longer and longer, but yet the truth doesn't come out, because there was a period of time here when some people believed in the Rude or Ruin campaign of Ruling Pacifica, of trying to bring it down. And there's still some right here in the audience who still believes in trying to ruin Pacifica, who goes around saying lies and claiming it to be the truth. So, Mr. Prophet, I just want to alert you that I respectfully disagree with you in terms of program evaluation. I think program evaluation has to be done to those the programming is catered to or directed towards, and that's the listeners. Listeners have to have a hand in evaluating program, because that's why we're losing them, because they're being turned off, or, you know, there has been no opportunity to evaluate program directors, because the majority of the program directors are interim. So you can evaluate interim program directors. So that's one thing that has to be rectified as well. So, again, you know, keep your eyes on the prize and listen to the truth, because the truth is being said here, and yet there's a lot of lies that are being said here too.
Okay, thank you. Janet Kay, you had something brief you wanted to...
Yes, about the listing of the directors on the agenda. That was an oversight, but the directors are listed on the Pacifica.org website under, you know, you go to PNB and you see members.
And also we have name tags for those who didn't see. Okay, we're going to move on to the finance report. I saw one of them, but we're going to have another public session that you can speak for those who didn't get a chance. Now we'll go on to the finance report. Who's going to be presenting that?
Presenting might be a strong word.
Articulating?
So we have current financials through May that have just been sent down from the national office, and Lydia has some diligent volunteers upstairs copying them. I only have enough packets at this moment for every other board member. So people are going to have to look over each other's shoulders, but we will have enough for everyone's binders within half an hour.
Okay. So we have 30 minutes on this item, presentation and then questions. So we'll... the timekeeper to start.
So I haven't seen these previously either. All I can do is take us on a quick tour through what the documents are, how to read them, and the very highlights of what's on the bottom lines. They're basically 2 months more current than the figures that I presented yesterday.